Thank you very much, and I would like to express my gladness to be here again. I don't know how many times I visited this conference, which is just growing and growing, and I got a very important information about this current conference, that I have only 15 minutes, so I would like to do my best. Therefore, it will be a short PowerPoint presentation. You can see already the title, which is which perhaps you see is far away from biblical studies, as usual when I'm starting to speak. Doctrinal and disciplinary meaning of anathema in the first centuries of Christian communities. However, you will see that I would like to refer the former sources until the crystallization of the canonical discipline regarding anathema and the distinction between anathema and excommunication. Well, it's just for making you happy. Council of Ephesus, and I suppose everyone knows why I use this painting, because the famous anathematism of Saint Cyril of Alexandria was explained in that very council. By the way, he was also under some problem during the discussion with Nestorius, and both of them received some sanctions that he handled very well. Nestorius, not that well. I would like to give a short overview after a Hellenistic meaning of anathema, the Old Testament meaning of anathema, anathema in the New Testament, interpretation within the early church, effects and meaning in the canonical collections, and finally a short conclusion. The introduction is very easy because it is basically a current definition about anathema. I would like to underline that it's a current definition about anathema, which means it's not exactly the same what we could find in the Hellenistic time and also in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So it is particularly the current scholarly definition. Anathema expresses something or someone that one vehemently disliked, or according to specific ecclesiastical meaning, a former or curse by the Pope or some type of councils, excommunicating a person or denouncing a particular doctrine. Here it is my addition that the meaning of curse doesn't seem proper expression. It was always a problem for me that the excommunication and even anathema, it is not a curse. If no one can call down from God curse on anyone, just you can ask blessing, but you cannot ask curse. It is. I think it's obvious for Christians. It's not obvious for pagans who wrote the definition. So, and I don't want to continue. The rest of the text is a quotation from the Cambridge Dictionary. So, Hellenistic meaning of anathema. Original Greek meaning is coming from anatithemi, which is hang, which means hang. And my note, that it is not a note, is intentionally without E, is not koris, separated. I found in several dictionaries to the definition of anathema, they use the koris, and this is not the first meaning of the anathema. So the hang is the original meaning what in Hellenistic time they used. There are seven meanings what I listed. You can read every single one. I would like to call your attention for the first set aside thing dedicated to a divinity. So it's something which is offered to God or goddess. It depends on it. Something which is hanging on the wall of the temple of that goddess. And this, what can be this this something? Is something can be, you can see, a weapon, because that weapon which helped the warrior to win the war, a tenth of the spoils and the prize for the winning contestants. But this, I think the 6 and 7 is very interesting. The girls gave a belt as anathemas or engagements, and also the girls gave their hand on marriage as anathema and hanging on the wall, which is of course is not offered to God, but offered for the life, which is interesting. It means that some or origin the marriage is for life, basically when they beginning. It was already in the Hellenistic time too. So my conclusion, anathema, according to its etymology, basically signified things offered to God. Old Testament. In Old Testament, we can find, as again, if you check the different definitions, you can find different schools, and the main two schools use two different expressions, and it's very important because the two expressions are existing, and this is the reason why St. Paul in the New Testament can focus on one of the meaning. So the first one is a korban, gift dedicated to the temple, which is very close to that what I just explained regarding the Hellenistic time. It is the temple of Jerusalem. And harem comes from haram, to cut off, to separate, curse. So this is the meaning that it's something which is out of you. It's, you cannot touch. It's you can see that something is cursed. You cannot use that anymore, or you cannot spoke with that person if it is a person. You cannot use it. You cannot touch it. Without the effect of the spreading of the curse on you. So it's a very strong meaning of this curse, but I would like to underline the separate, seeing that someone who is separated from a group, because it's much closer to our idea about the anathematized person. So, appearance of the different places in the Old Testament, the best description, I think, is Deuteronomy 7:1-2, when the Lord thy God shall have delivered them to thee, thou shalt utterly destroy them. And this meaning, so it means always about person who is separated from the group, from the team, from those who are who can participate in a divine worship. And in Samuel and Joshua and Numeri, you will see the same definition. In New Testament, no longer entails death, but the loss of goods or exclusion from the society of the faithful. This is what we usually using about anathema, and definitely St. Paul is the one who is using anathema in the New Testament. You can see the references. The best one is the Roman letter 9:3, and I listed only one formulation. I'm sorry. The other places we can see well that in the New Testament meaning of anathema is equal with the Hebrew harem. In the early church, first of all, they adopted the word of anathema, which means that exclusion of the sinner from the society of faithful. I think is quite clear. I don't want to list the entire list, but I would like to underline the third point. Until the 6th century, the anathema and the excommunication meant the same. Between the 6th and 9th century, they tried to make distinction between the two expressions, but it was not logical and consequent, so we needed that the point 5, 872-882, the clear distinction between the two expression, excommunication, which separates her, because it's, of course, in that time, a law always was about someone, is about a lady, excommunication, which separates her from the society of the brethren, but under the anathema, which separates from the body of Christ, which is the church, which means that the excommunication is a temporary separation regarding the liturgical events. Anathema is a different thing. Anathema is just perfectly separation from the entire body of the church. This is the basic distinction of as a conclusion of the early church. I'm sorry, in the 9th century, you can see the definition was written by Pope John VIII. There are famous anathemas, of course. I indicate anathemas in Elvira, and I already mentioned the anathemas in Ephesus. But if you check every single early council, you can see at the end of the Portal Canons that the Honorius Episcopus Dixit, everyone agreed, anyone opposed, anathema said, that's it. And 62 canons. And you can step over for Council of Ancyra, and you will get the same thing, that after every single canon is the anathema. This is why when someone is reading the Second Vatican Council and is a very strict person, just checking, but it's very strange that until the First Vatican Council, every definition concluding if anything says opposite, anathema sit, except the Second Vatican Council, there is no anathema esto. So it is something new, and of course some very bad guys or upset guys, where are the anathemas there? No, it's the Second Vatican Council was not dedicated for that, and of course it's not the early church. So, effects of the and meaning in the canon law collections. I already mentioned the Dionysiana, but the first of all, in the so-called pseudo-epistolic collections, so in the first century, and I think it's very important, so in the first five centuries, we have so-called pseudo-epistolic collections which are recognized as canon law collections, but we don't have any word about anathema. So they always just prohibit or they say incorrect, but never say anathema. The first time when we can see that in the Collectio Dionysiana, this is the middle of the 6th century, the 5th century and the beginning of the 6th century, and after, of course, it transforms into the Collectio Dionysia Adriana. Dionysius was a Scythian monk, and he has a perfect Greek, and you know very well the epistolic canons were translated from Greek to Latin by him. I mean 50 canons, not 85. And there are the pre-Gratian collections and the Decretum Gratiani. They use the early and medieval councils several times, citing, of course, the conclusion anathema sit. And finally, because the Decretum Gratiani inserting this, that very text what I referred already from the end of the 9th century, it widespread through the university education that what is the meaning of anathema and what is the meaning of excommunication. So this is the reason why we now have these two different meaning for our interpretation. Conclusion, it can be clearly seen that the term of ancient origin, but double meaning, which was found in both Hellenic and Roman culture, was introduced in the Old Testament with two different verses expressing the two original meanings. The elimination of this dichotomy, thanks to St. Paul, took place in the New Testament, which defined the early Christian ecclesiastic discipline of the first 6 centuries. The clarification of the content of anathema and its separation from excommunication took place in the 9th century, and the consistent use of the Decretum Gratiani clarified the meaning of the two words. Thank you very much.